Like Call It What You Want, which we know is your favorite podcast about the beautiful game, Vuori is committed to delivering a great experience for everyone, which is highlighted by their new perspective on performance apparel. Everything is designed to work out in, but doesn't look or feel like it. In fact, I'm rocking their Stratotech polo right now, along with their Sunday performance jogger pants, so I can be business on top when I'm on camera, but super comfortable on the bottom. And it's just the best. Vuori gear is incredibly versatile, and it can be used for just about any activity. Running, training, swimming, lounging around, hosting podcasts, doing errands, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. And for our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/call it. That's Vuori.com/call it. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Go to Vuori.com/call it and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
That's a good one.
Jimmy, trash can, cream cheese, Connor, Dieter, Connor, also known as Jim.
And I'm here with Hollywood heartbreak kid Keith Pierce. And Chuck Davies will be joining us whenever Chuck Davies decides he wants to join us. In fairness, he is doing stuff with the U.S. Open Cup draw for the semifinals. We'll get into the final four teams a little bit later in the show, and he'll be joining us with his beautiful... There he is! Here he is! Charlie Davies is here! Look at this guy! Unbelievable! Great to see you! Let's go! So I know you got a big surprise on who's hosting who for the U.S. Open Cup, and we'll get into that a little bit. But honestly, we did this emergency podcast yesterday around Leo Messi, and Chuck, you weren't here, unfortunately. I think we were speculating it's because you were jealous that Messi's going to come in and kind of be the alpha male now because he's going to have more houses and boats.
Yeah,
and
all the traffic on your guys' private islands that you live on, all those things. Like
all that stuff.
Good for valuation, bad for quality of life, that kind of thing.
Yes. We just figured you were just sad about that. But tell us your thoughts on Messi coming to MLS. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And it's a game changer. We think about those monumental moments throughout our childhood in terms of soccer in this country. World Cup 94. Because I didn't know about the sport when Paul Calegari had that shot heard around the world, right? So World Cup 94.
That was match fixing anyway. Don't worry about it.
I was there on the field. That was amazing.
And then, Jimmy, I heard you had a stellar performance.
I was the first one to give him a hug after he hit the back.
Exactly. MLS being created in 96, the inaugural season. Then I think the 02 World Cup, it really resonated with all of us. It was such a massive moment. And then David Beckham. And that was the moment MLS took that big leap forward.
What about Jimmy in 06 at the World Cup? That didn't count for a monumental moment.
Well, we got knocked out of the group
stages. Aside. Yeah, but you know, we got the Jimmy story at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Yeah. I was 2 years old. What do you want? But I think for the sake of this conversation, to get the world, arguably the world's best player, which he is right now. I mean, he's the only player in the top 5 Euro leagues to have 20 plus goals and 20 plus assists this season. To put that in context, he just won a World Cup. That is probably unimaginable to a lot of people to hear the world's best player, arguably right now, is coming to MLS. Mm-hmm. Who cares that he's 35 years old? He's still producing. He won a World Cup at 35 years old. He's going to be 36 on June 24th. This is such a big moment for the league. Now, you've already seen what the Instagram followers have done for Inter Miami. The amount of money that's going to be poured into this country, the amount of eyes and the amount of players are going to naturally want to come to MLS, because if Lionel Messi chose MLS over Saudi Arabia, and a lot of players are going to Saudi Arabia just for money, that tells you something, that this league is different, that it's going to be held in a different category than some of these other major money leagues, China, and what we've saw in China, what we saw in Saudi Arabia and the Middle East. No, this is something different. You're getting quality of life off the pitch as well as on the pitch, a little bit more competitive. That is the difference. Lionel Messi chose that to still want to play in Copa America, which is in the United States, and maybe a potential of playing in the next World Cup here in 2026 in the United States. It does not get bigger for MLS. There could not have been a better scenario, a dream scenario for Apple, for all the sponsors of the league, for Major League Soccer, and for the growth in this country. Tremendous. Because all eyes were on the World Cup in this past December because of the storylines. Messi, Mbappe, but Messi, every trophy he's gone after, he's won except this one. This is the one that eluded him the most.
What, MLS Cup?
No, Open Cup.
Open Cup. And now he's in the semifinal. Now he's in a semifinal against Cincinnati.
I saw those refs. That was mess. That was, those are Barcelona refs all the way through and through.
There was
making sure he gets that pathway, baby.
The Messi effect is in full effect, as it were. Now he has a quote, and we've had a day to process this, as you have as well, Chuck, but for me and Heath on the pod. Messi has a quote who said, "I had offers from other European clubs, but I didn't even consider them because my idea was to go to Barcelona. And if it didn't work out, analyzing it, I'd leave European soccer, especially after winning the World Cup, which is what I was missing to close out my career on this side and experience the league in the United States another way and enjoy the day-to-day, but with the same responsibility of wanting to win and do the right thing, just with more tranquility." Now, before you jump in, Heath, Barcelona put out a statement, and this is awesome. I'm going to paraphrase probably the best part, or actually I'll give you the quote of the best part, but it says, "President Laporta understood and respected Messi's decision to want to compete in a league with fewer demands, further away from the spotlight and the pressure that he has been subject to in recent years." That sounds like sour goddamn grapes to me, Heath Pierce.
Hey,
but
let me tell you this.
He's not wrong. I mean, ultimately, you are going to be, well, Thierry Henry, let's use him as an example. He used to love walking around New York pretty anonymously. Messi's a different beast, though. With all due respect to Thierry Henry, Messi is incredibly recognizable. I don't think he's going to be walking down the streets of Miami and people
chance.
Yeah, it's just not. I don't know how that.
He's going to have a great quality of life in some ways, but he's not going to have a quality of life in other ways. And the same that he's experienced his entire career, right? Which is like, it's not like he's rolling out of the house with his beach towel, being like, "Yeah, I'm going to just head on down to the beach." And no, he's going to be probably, I would guess, he'll have a condo building with high security. He'll have a house on an island with high security, and he'll go back and forth in between.
He'll live I think he'll live in Fort Lauderdale or close to the training facility from what I've heard.
He's looking for Well, we're going to defer to you on all this inside information.
He's
share the same real estate agent.
I thought the same thing. He's going to live on Star Island or Coral Gables, where, you know, LeBron James had a home, but no, it turns out he's looking
you can say neighbors. You don't have to say has a home. Yeah. We know that you're
a neighbor.
You share property there, Chuck.
He's looking to be more low key.
Hey, what I will say this, though, by the way, on those comments from La Liga, you know who didn't watch very much La Liga this year? Me. You know why? Because Messi is not there. Ronaldo is not there. That is what, going back to Charlie's point, you're talking about an Apple deal that has global distribution, right? First of its kind type of deal. Outside of Leagues Cup in Mexico is like the only territory of all the competitions where they don't have full global distribution. That's bringing eyeballs. That's bringing spotlight. That's bringing this. I will watch any game that Messi plays in to see him succeed or fail. I don't care what he actually ends up accomplishing while he's here, because that doesn't change what he's going to do for the league and the exposure of it all. But that is a massive deal. And for a league like La Liga and those comments coming out of from Laporta, it's just, to me, I got no reason to watch those super teams anymore, because they're not when they don't have somebody like him.
That guy can cry all he wants. He shouldn't have let him go when he was still on the goddamn team. He let him go to PSG for a number of different reasons. And now, whatever to that guy. Yeah, world's tiniest violin, I think somebody wrote in the comments, and I appreciate that. All right, before we take any steps further, we got to bring in our special guest. He's a senior writer for The Athletic. He previously wrote for Washington Post, Orlando Sentinel, 442. The guy does it all. It's Paul!
I want to start off by saying, like, Messi has a $7.8 million condo in Sunny Isles in Florida, and I like that Charlie's calling it low key. It just lets you know what is not low key in Charlie's world, if that's low key right there.
Paul coming in swinging at Chuck, because he knows that Chuck is a big deal. Paul, great to see you as always. Let's talk first and foremost about the mechanics of this deal, because it looks like an MLS PR put out a statement yesterday saying not everything's finalized. We're excited Messi's coming. And then Messi also included in his statement that not everything's finalized either, but it looks like they're going to find that resolution. But it looks like he's going to get a piece of the pie from Apple TV, get some from Adidas, get some future ownership. And it just feels like a deal that – is that legal? I mean, they've done it with Beckham before, but it seems to go – a little counter to a standard player agreement. You know what I'm saying, Paul?
Definitely not the SPA that you guys signed. Put it that way. No, I think Charlie nailed it when he went back to Beckham. The irony is that first DP deal that ever existed in MLS, the Beckham deal, that set this up in many ways. One, because it gave Beckham an option to buy a team for $25 million, which became Inter Miami, which is now where Messi is going to come. But it gave a framework for how to make a deal for a special kind of figure in global soccer. And that's what Messi is. Designated players can be paid whatever they want. So it's not breaking any rules, right? The compensation numbers could be $1 billion if that's what they wanted to pay. But the way they structured this deal, all of the parties that are involved, makes it a more difficult deal to kind of get on paper, iron out all the details, get it signed. And yeah, I think MLS is probably going to feel pretty nervous until the pen hits the paper that, you know, Barcelona and Laporta, you know, if they haven't already done enough damage to the chance to get back in the picture, that they don't get back in the picture. But, you know, look, let's look at the Apple deal, because I think that's the biggest piece of this. Apple invested in Major League Soccer, and their hope was that it would pay off in a big way, bringing in a global audience. The idea of this deal is that you can watch it anywhere, almost anywhere. There's a few countries that are blacked out, but you can subscribe to Apple TV Plus and subscribe to the season pass and get this product and get eyes on this league. Well, Messi changes the game on that. They believe that Messi is a figure that's going to drive a lot of eyeballs to Major League Soccer, and in doing so, a lot of subscribers to Apple TV. And that's Apple's goal. It's not just about growing Major League Soccer in the season pass. It's about growing Apple TV Plus and getting people to tune in. And so it makes a lot of sense that they're saying to Messi, hey, if you come, we will give you a piece of that pie. For them, it's not about the profits on Major League Soccer season pass, right? It's about bringing more people into Apple. So, you know, it speaks, I think, to just how big of a figure he is in sports, that once you start giving away revenue share and you have companies like Apple and Adidas saying, we want to be partners with you, that's a different level. And you know, I've seen some people complaining, oh, it's not fair to our teams that Messi gets this. I'm sorry, but this is good for Major League Soccer. It's good for your team indirectly. And my hope is that eventually it changes Major League Soccer in the way that the Beckham deal did, the way that the DP rule did, that, you know, right now we're hearing all these names of Messi's friends that want to come. Well, good luck to Chris Henderson doing it under Major League Soccer's rules. And so hopefully we see an acceleration of some changes to the rules that allow for spending across more of the roster to bring in more quality, so that teams can be more aggressive, not just in signing guys like Messi, but in spreading out the money and trying to make more well-rounded, better teams overall. And I think Messi has the power to do that.
Do you think, kind of looking on that same context, right? We now know we've got an international deal that's been done. When the deal gets done, that's an international product. But we're still missing a national product in the U.S. And you'd mentioned some of those mechanisms being able to change. When I say national product, I mean, why should I watch New York Red Bulls play against Orlando, right? What are the things that make me, like in other sports, love them or hate them, but you got to tune in, whether it's entertainment, whether it's for what they stand for or don't stand for, all of those things. Do you truly believe this type of thing, because we're grounded in collective bargaining agreements and all these things, could actually accelerate some of these different salary cap rules and mechanisms that could lead to just an accelerated growth of the league in general?
I mean, it could. I don't know that it will. We've seen kind of a reticence from Major League Soccer headquarters to overhaul the system that they've created. It's their baby. It's what they've built from nothing into something that is sustainable, something that can sort of limit risk for the owners. And I think that's been a big part of it as well. But, you know, yes, you have this moment now. And we've been pointing to 2026 as that moment, that chance to springboard this league forward. Well, now you have... the runway you have is Messi on the runway. So you're right. Why do we tune into games? I talk about this all the time. Like, you have to tell people why they're watching something. It has to be about the storylines, the drama. It's why all the debate shows exist about every other league, and why off-season talk and trade hot stoves and all of that stuff matters, right? Because you're getting people to buy into the stories so that they tune into the games. They're not a fan of, you know, the Washington football team is not going to watch Kansas City against LA because they're fans of the game. They're watching because Mahomes and the stories that we're telling about how those teams were built. MLS doesn't have that, right? They don't have that kind of exposure. And we see when you get that exposure, and Zlatan's the best example of it. He's on talk shows. People on Sports Center saying, you have to see this guy. You have to see this guy. And then the numbers for Zlatan's games go through the roof because people are told, you have to watch this. That's going to happen for Messi. So how do you then turn those eyeballs, that attention, to the rest of the league? And I think the way you start to do it is say, hey, we're ready to grow. Can you sell that story and say Messi coming here, like Charlie said, is a game changer. It shows that this league is different. It can be different. We have more billionaire owners in this league than probably any league in the rest of the world. We can be competitive for these types of players. But if you're going to sell that story, if you're going to tell people, come tune in, if you're going to tell players who are coming for the World Cup in 2026, sign an MLS afterwards or beforehand, you need to grow, change. And I think that's, for me, the selling point of this deal. When we talk about the change it can bring, it has to be more than just people tuning in for Messi, people buying tickets for Messi. It's a great story right now, what's happening with ticket sales around the league. But if you want lasting change, it has to be like Beckham. The DP rule is lasting change. It impacted how the league does business. Messi can do that too, but there have to be willing parties at the Board of Governors to do that.
Well, let's talk about the Messi rule, the potential Messi rule. So instead of three DPs, which we have now in Major League Soccer, maybe that expands to five, because I think five would be a good number. And there are a number of teams who would use all five. There are a number of teams who probably wouldn't use all five, but then that could probably beef up the roster from 6 to 15, if you will. And I think that would help teams become a little bit more competitive, deeper, because Steve Cherundolo also talked about LAFC not having enough depth to compete with some of the sides in Liga MX, which I don't agree with because LAFC should have won that tie. But in the end, Lionel Messi has a lot of former teammates that want to come to play with him, and just maybe people in general that want to get a chance to play with him before they retire and still have the capabilities to do really well in this league. What do you see happening first? Inter Miami signing a coach like a Tata Martino, and then the rules happening in the way that they should, or maybe it's just a coach and you're sticking with Messi for the rest of the season, and then we see rules changing for the following years?
I don't think that you can go into the rest of the season with Messi and the current roster that not only sits at the bottom of the table, but has, when you look at like the advanced analytics, one of the worst attacks in Major League Soccer history. Like, their attacking output is so bad that it's historically bad. No one wants to watch Messi with that team, right? So there's a reason why we should be talking about guys like Busquets and Angel Di Maria and Luis Suarez and all these big names.
And you Neymar is free next year.
Right. So if you want that, if you really want to see the best of Messi, I mean, I covered Orlando City, Heath's team, of course, in 2015 when Kaká came in as an expansion
still team. Still my team.
And yeah, still under contract, I believe. Still have your rights.
They have his rights.
And you know, Kaká, the brilliance of Kaká is his ability to anticipate what's going to happen next and to play those passes into those dangerous spaces before other teams understand that those balls are going to be there. Well, that didn't matter if the guy's not making the run, right? Mm-hmm. You can't play those passes if there's no one there to receive them, to run onto them. And you don't want that with Messi either. I mean, Messi is going to be a different type of player. He'll score more goals than Kaká did, but you put more quality around him, you're going to see more of the best of Leo Messi. I do think there's one simple change that they can make early on in this summer, as soon as this summer, to make things easier for Inter Miami to move players out so that they can bring new players in. And that's something that's been worked on for the last 3 or 4 years. And it's an internal transfer market to allow players to be bought and sold within MLS for cash and not just allocation money. And that would be a game changer, because then you could buy somebody like a Campana from Miami for $3 million, let's say, where there's no chance you could trade for him. They'd have to find an international partner to sell him to open up space. So that type of rule change is a simple one, but one that could have an impact on the quality we see with Messi. As far as the increase in DPs, I think let's think the other way. Maybe you drop down to one or two DPs and you create a salary cap and a floor, and you say, okay, now teams have $30 million to spend with, you know, room for a Messi deal, right? Because he's going to be making more than $30 million a year, but you can sign three or four guys making $2 or $3 million and still have plenty of room to build out the rest of your team. You know, this is a way to kind of create more depth, but also more depth in quality at the top of the roster. And I think it would bring MLS closer in line to the rest of the world in terms of kind of how you focus your spend. So it's not just isolated on three or four or five guys.
Now, by the way, I would like that. If you forced that type of salary adjustment, then the league would have to force some sort of like youth playing initiative that would make sure that you protect domestic jobs and for young players, which I think is actually a benefit more than sitting in between these two mechanisms where you never really have a reason to play the young guys.
I think what I wanted to add to that too, and that's good insight, and I appreciate you, Paul, is that when I was part of the executive committee for the MLS Players Association, as we're dealing with CBAs, we got the sense that we would hear from behind the scenes that on the MLS Board of Governors, there were a lot of owners that were ready to go, right? They wanted the handcuffs to be taken off. They wanted to spend, they wanted to take this league where they could envision it going. But there were a couple owners that I think have been around from the beginning that kept the league propped up for a long time. I'm talking Anschutz, the Crafts, the Hunts.
Charlie Davies,
who are
you know all spending.
Well, they're in legacy mode, right? Like, hey, we actually, the reason that you bought into a league is because we kept it going for so long. And those three owners, in total respect for them, owned 10 of the teams or 12 of the teams for a number of years to make sure that this thing stayed alive. But I think they think their vote is worth more than everybody else's. And I wonder, is this the moment now where their hand's being forced? Like, this is it. We got Messi now. It's never going to get any better than this. We have the Copa America 24. We have the World Cup in 26. We have to step on the gas. Let us take off the handcuffs. Are you feeling that there's a little bit more urgency from the MLS Board of Governors? Or because if you don't take advantage of this right now, when are you ever going to take advantage of it? It's just not going to happen. It's never going to set up like this.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think in reality, like to your point, this has been this kind of tension that's existed behind the scenes in MLS between some of the newer owners who are putting a lot of money down to buy into the league, right? And they're saying to these legacy owners, like, hey, I just spent $150 million to come in and then I built a stadium and a training facility. Well, now you've got people spending $500 million to come into the league, $325 million to come into the league. Insane. And you have a guy in Jorge Mas who has been one of those voices behind the scenes. He's been saying, we need to change. We need to grow. He now has the hand to go back to the table and say, guys, I brought Messi. You have to listen to me. Because it's easy to ignore Jorge Mas.
What a card to play at the table.
When you're breaking the roster rules, you can kind of push Mas to the side. Hey, you didn't want to play by the rules like the rest of us. It lessens your impact, your voice. Not anymore. You have Leo Messi. You're able to come and say, this is the time. To your point, like, this is the time to start making changes. Let's capitalize on this moment. So, yeah, I mean, I think it could be the catalyst. I hope it's the catalyst for these discussions to bring meaningful change. And really, let's start with the baby steps. For the Hunts and for some of the other owners to open their minds to change, to bring it to the table and at least have the discussion, because I don't think that's been happening to this point. And I think it would be really, really important for Major League Soccer.
Well, Paul Pitanario, everybody, we appreciate you and all of your insight.
Keep what a guy. Work
with the Athletic.
Top man.
I wish he would have worn a suit and a tie today, but
I know like, that's, you know, I take him know. More serious when he wears it.
He only does when he's on TV. Doesn't treat us like
when
TV.
I'm on TV, like, you know, but for you guys, no, I keep it low key, like Messi and Charlie Davies.
Well said.
All right, everybody, we're going to take our first break of In Soccer We Trust. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Inter Miami and their hopes and dreams and their odds in Vegas and their Open Cup run and everything else in between. So don't go anywhere.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles, uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Welcome back, everybody, to It's Not Going to Trust. I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Lowkey Davies and Hollywood Heath Pierce. And on Saturday, on CBS, one of the most celebrated soccer tournaments in the world is down to 2 clubs. Manchester City, who are chasing the treble, meeting Inter Milan in the UEFA Champions League final. And our world-class team will be on the pitch with live coverage beginning Saturday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern on CBS and Paramount Plus. So go make that happen. Fun fact, everybody, I am going to the game and I'm leaving for Istanbul tonight. So I'm very excited to witness this game in person. It should be a lot of fun, and
have a safe flight.
Thank you very much. It's a long one from California. It's a nice 15-hour flight or something wild.
The way Chuck said that was as if somebody who flies private is saying that to somebody who's flying commercial, which was very much
Enjoy your middle seat, buddy.
I don't know what's going on, Jimmy, with enjoy all your flying stuff, but I'm assuming it's a lot harder than what I go through when I travel. So I just want to wish you all the best. That's what it felt like.
No, not at all. I was more concerned about this comment in the YouTube section here from Coach B, which was, but how do the youth American players play in their own league if we're giving away slots to so many foreign players? We still need a why to produce talent. And I hear this come up quite often. And when I want people to get this perspective, you're a young American player. I go back to myself in 1994. If I'm watching the American players, and Kobe Jones is one that inspired me, but I'm not wanting to learn exactly from Eric Wynalda or Kobe Jones, or, and no disrespect to these players, because they obviously paved the way for me to come up and play. But I wanted to learn from Ronaldo, Fenomeno, Romario, Bebeto. These are the type of players that I was trying to emulate. Then it went to Thierry Henry, and it's the world-class players, the best players to play the game. If they're coming into our league and they're still producing, i.e. Robbie Keane, David Villa, Thierry Henry, when they're playing at such a high level, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, you can only get inspired to learn and watch them. And in training, if you're a young player in that academy, you get to go on the pitch and have a few words with them and see how they move and learn from them. They're only raising the profile and the training methods, the expectations at the club for the youth coaches to develop talent. That only helps. That doesn't take away spots. That produces more talent and more quality of the talent. So it's quality over quantity. That's what we should be focused on. If we have players like Lionel Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo or an Mbappe in the future that come to MLS and they still have what it takes to succeed, stand up and clap. Be appreciative of this moment. Don't say we don't want foreigners to come here and take our American spots. That's not how you have to look at it. You look at it as if these players are coming here to put more money into the league, to put more spotlight into the league, so more youth can go overseas and have that opportunity to play in a Champions League, to have that opportunity to play against top talent every single day, where you are graded on your trainings day to day, not month to month or week to week or year to year. The level of pressure is so high that only helps us in the long run, so that we can win a World Cup and we can have players winning Champions League and not being a rotational player being starters. That is what will eventually happen when our league continues to get stronger and there's more respect put on that name. So don't worry about foreigners come here. Be more of the, yes, we want more top talent coming to our country to see what we're producing. And then the our coaching, our level of coaching only gets...
Hey, Chuck, we're almost in the second commercial break. All I know is that Chuck just talked for 20 minutes, and Coach B said, that's not what I meant. He basically said...
I just want to say that I stopped listening to Chuck after he said he hated Kobe Jones. Like, yeah. Kobe Jones.
Dude, I had rage when I was young. Highly problematic.
I mean,
looking
once
back
he said
now.
That, I was but like, I'm checked out.
I had the Kobe braids when I was young.
I can't even listen. I can't even listen to what he has to say. When he disparaged Kobe Jones.
I just told
like
you Kobe was my role model. He was the only one that looked like me. But I'm saying, as a player, I wanted to learn from a Ronaldo and a Romario. And
so Kobe, you were really handsome, but you weren't as good as those other guys.
Hey, to be fair, you're saying Ronaldo and Romario, but you're not saying like the seven other players.
Patrick Kluivert. Like,
I know you're saying the players, but some of that argument is like filling in roster spots, but I do think the league is going to create mechanisms, as we've seen in other places, that will protect the academies. But growth happens in the academies for the youth. That's going to get better. We're going to create the volume. Those players do need a pathway. And if there isn't that pathway you're seeing now, they're going to go somewhere else and they're going to keep continuing. We're seeing Josh Winder go abroad as the first seven-figure player to come out of USL. But I do think there's going to be, with rules, there's going to be changes that is some protection for young players to have a place in the squad, or at least they got to prove themselves. They're not going to, no one should be getting
well,
a free pass.
Of course. What I would add to this part of the conversation, and we've had conversations with younger players before, whether we were playing and we were the older teammate or now when we do our coaching, I kind of liken it to when Jurgen Klinsmann opened up the player pool, right? He's going to look for dual nationals and all this stuff. And there was a little bit of an undercurrent up on. Of why are we getting these guys in and
they're not true Americans.
Yeah, that's
true. That was a big one.
That's from fans and it's from players, right? And I think that players were like, great, it's just another quality player I'm going to have to compete up against. My simple answer to that, just play better. If you want this to go away, it ultimately cuts right to what you're saying, Chuck. It's going to help our players play better, to understand what it takes to be a top player, to understand that there's going to be pressures. How do you deal with the ups and downs? How steady can you be when things aren't going your way? And what are you going to do to fight out of your adversity? So yes, you just have to play better. I see kids now, I'm not getting playing time. Then play better. Oh, well, I don't know. What does that mean? Go work on your goddamn game. You have to be undeniable every time you step on the field. And that's how you're going to get better. And that's how you're going to climb the ladder. And I'm now matching your energy and your enthusiasm, Chuck, because yes, is it going to make it harder? Good. That's how it should be, right? To your point, Heath, nothing should be handed to you. You have to go out there and earn it and earn that respect. And so we're all on the same page.
Yeah. If you want to be the top football in country, guess what? Then you have to have the top foreigners, the top players around the world come to your league and don't moan and complain about it.
Gotta
embrace
it.
But every league has mechanisms, for the record. It's not like MLS is just going to go full crazy. Premier League has foreign player limits and qualifications for those players to get in, right? It protects domestic jobs. The Scandinavia has a young player rule. Every league in the world has their own. Italy has a non-EU limit and other mechanisms. Like there are limits will be put in. Yeah, exactly. These limits will be put into place. So it's not just a full overhaul where you go and get, better players for less type of thing or whatever the reasoning is. It's not like it's just going to open up the floodgates for more. It's going to create more competition and ultimately push our player pool to be better.
And that's going to lead us to where I think we want to go. But yeah, is it going to be hard at times for a lot of the player pool? Yeah, it is. And that's, I think, what we want. That's why we're asking them to go to Europe, right? Because that's the environment where that does exist on a more regular basis. All right. Let's talk about the Open Cup. Let's just pivot.
Charles Jones said, Jimmy taking the Lord's name in vain. This podcast is off the chain. Then we got Tanky with a hammer and sickle as his logo. Like, we are building an interesting audience here. You know what I mean, guys? We need to find Jesus soon. We're going off the rails.
Well, let's talk about the Messiah, Messi, and his immediate impact for Inter Miami, because last night they played in Birmingham against the Legion and they won 1-0, which books their ticket for their first ever appearance in the Open Cup semifinals.
What's interesting is that there's some questionable refereeing in this one. There should have been a penalty in favor of Birmingham, but no VAR, which I think is really unfortunate. They're starting to get to a point in the tournament where everything is getting closer to the finish line, and I feel like there should be the proper refereeing tools to make sure that the games are played as straight as possible. Now, Miami booked their ticket against FC Cincinnati. Lucho Acosta, for me, has to be the MVP of any competition he's currently playing in here. He has been excellent. Cincinnati ended up beating the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. And in that first goal from Cincinnati, I think that Brandon Vasquez or Baji was offside, but I still feel like Cincinnati would have gone on to win that game with all due respect to Pittsburgh. The Birmingham one, a little bit different. Chuck, you were just part of the Open Cup stuff. The draw, who's hosting who in the semifinals? We have Houston beat Chicago 4-1. And RSL, Real Salt Lake, was up 3-0 on the Galaxy. Galaxy scored too late to make that one 3-2. And unfortunately, Chicharito picked up an injury. Actually, Chuck, before we get your thoughts, let's hear from Chicharito because he had this to say about his injury in Salt Lake City. So, producer Alex, let's roll that if you do not mind.
I just want to say thank you to everyone over here from the Real Salt Lake City organization. And the people here in the stadium, they treat me pretty well in a very difficult moment for me. I have a knee injury. We don't know how bad it is. We're going to know in the next couple of days when we do the MRIs and everything that we have to do to check how my knee is. But yeah, and everyone in the stadium as well, I hear you. Thank you for clapping. Thank you for sending me the best vibes. I appreciate it a lot. And yeah, we're going to come back stronger. That's for sure. And we hope the best and that my injury is not as bad as we think it could be. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, we're hoping that for Chicharito as well. Obviously, a big-time player, not only for the Galaxy, but for the league overall. Good representative for soccer in this country. Now, Chuck, talk to us about Open Cup semifinals. We have our four final four. Who's hosting who, and who do you like in those semifinal matchups?
We have Houston hosting RSL, and we have FC Cincinnati hosting Inter Miami.
But here is the
wrinkle. So if RSL win against Houston, they will host U.S. Open Cup, the final, regardless of any other result. Now, if they lose and Inter Miami win and Houston wins, Houston beats RSL and Inter Miami beats Cincinnati, Inter Miami will host the U.S. Open Cup final.
Wow.
And then...
And Messi will be on the team at that point because the final is September 27th. Yes.
And Messi will be there for the semifinal as well because the semifinal is August 23rd.
Oh, crap.
So, and then the third scenario is if Houston wins and Cincinnati wins, Cincinnati will host the World U.S. Open Cup final. And Houston cannot host whatsoever. So no one has to worry about the heat. No one has to worry about traveling to Houston and playing in a difficult situation because Houston are very good at home. So it's either at RSL, it's in Miami, or last place scenario is it's in Cincinnati. So
I'm looking forward to Matt Miazga doing the hype thing to Messi like he did to
I'm looking forward to seeing that game at the football stadium in Miami when the final hits. Every game is going to
What's going to happen?
Sold out.
What do they say? They can't play at the stadium, right? In Fort Lauderdale. When Messi shows up, you want to maximize those tickets, baby.
I think they could have if it were the semifinal. But if you're hosting the final, the U.S. Open,
you got to play
the
Hard Rock, right?
You have to play there. You have to. It's the first opportunity for Messi to lift silverware in North America.
If I was U.S. soccer, I'd be shopping this tournament to write soldiers and sponsors again right now. So hard, being like, dude, do you know what this final is going to be? Someone's got to pay for it. And by the way, you can do a five-year deal with me right now.
The Open Cup's the biggest deal around after not getting any love for a while. Unbelievable. All right, so just a quick question, because we saw Birmingham host last night, Inter Miami, and 18,000 strong coming out in Birmingham. Do you feel like the lower division teams, that with any time that they host an MLS team, or that when they play against an MLS team, they should host that game? I think that helps grow the thing, and I just wanted to entertain that part of the conversation, because I just think the environment and the atmosphere is a lot better, because sometimes you see midweek games
in
different locations, and I don't know if they value it as much, those fans or whatever. They just want to go on the weekend and not midweek. But the other lower division clubs are fired up to play against the MLS teams.
I think until the semifinals, because on the flip side, if you are a USL side, you also look forward to being able to play in MLS stadium. So think about it from the USL perspective. Let's say you play in a small stadium. Sure, you get, you know, let's say 5,000 to 7,000 fans. You're doing well. Everyone's hyped. But you get the opportunity to go play in the Benz, or you get a chance to go play at CenturyLink in Seattle, or, you know, any of the new stadiums in Cincinnati or Columbus, or Red Bull Arena. You want to be able to have those opportunities too. So I see it from both perspectives. And I think in the earlier rounds, no doubt they should be played at the smaller club side. No doubt. But I think as you get to the late stages, the USL sides want to play in MLS stadiums as well. They want to play in those big crowds and big stadiums. And if you have an opportunity to play a semifinal in a sold out crowd,
when was the last time you saw an Open Cup game sold out in a semifinal? Be honest. Those games aren't getting sold out.
Cincinnati. When Cincinnati was USL, they had 30,000.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying in an MLS team.
Playing
at an MLS side, it's still like you still have finite marketing dollars, right? And in certain markets, like you went to Portland, you went to some places like where you can hit that hard. But I'd still say that's 25% of MLS is going to prioritize a semifinal to sell it out, where you get that, like the Benz is rocking, you know.
Maybe then in that case it's the final. The final can be wherever the biggest venue is.
Well, hopefully, I don't know if I want it to be in Miami, but it would be kind of cool to see Messi in the final and just to see how big of a deal that would be for South Florida overall. Though I still think Cincinnati is the team. I mean, every time I watch them play, Lucho Acosta in particular, I can't say enough. The guy is just pulling all the strings and in so many different ways. His passing, his technique, it's unreal. So if you have a chance to watch any player this particular year in MLS or Open Cup, make sure you're taking some time to watch Lucho Acosta.
Did you just say any player, Jimmy? If I got a chance to watch any player this year, you said this year in the Open Cup. I'm watching Lionel Messi, Jimmy. Take that comment back. Start it again.
Fine.
Lionel Messi and
Lucho Acosta. Any two players.
I think we should take bets after every or before every Inter Miami match when Messi's playing of who gets his jersey at the end of the game. Which player?
I think he's going to give it to his grandma.
Did you guys play each game? Jimmy, who did you get? Who'd you get again from Argentina?
I didn't get anybody. I asked for Kelme and he wouldn't look at me.
That's true.
That's because I talked shit to him earlier in the game.
Oh yeah, because he didn't have his shoes tied or whatever.
He didn't have his shoes tied. I called him out on it.
Chuck, did you play Argentina?
I didn't get a kit. Nope.
No. Did you get any at the youth level? Anybody's?
I got Rona Jagger's kit from in Colombia, which was awesome. I take that one because he was like kind of like a folk hero for Colombia at that time because he was playing in the premiership.
He's basically setting us up so he can flex on
us. I got the Kun Aguero. You know what's funny is I posted the photo and back he played on my side, and you remember that New York game where like Messi had to play in the game where they wouldn't have given the team the bonus. I told that story before. Right. But I posted the photo a number of times. Anytime I'm feeling real down, I just post like a flex of some kind, even if the photos are a little pixelated compared to what we get in pictures now. And I said, one-on-one versus Kun Aguero or whatever. And people were like, that's not good. Because it's a little blurry. So it looks like Tevez, and people like were attacking me saying I didn't play against him. And I was like, guys, I played in the game. I remember who wore the number and who I was playing against. People are like, no, you're stupid, man. That's Carlos Tevez. That's not I got attacked in the comments, and I had to be like, guys, go look it up. Like, there's not like there's and so, yeah, I had to fight for this one.
Why is it in a roll? Why is it rolled?
I have it hung up above this in like this little studio area. So it's like rolled in so that you can see.
Is that the only one that you've rolled?
No. I got a Ryan Babel. I got a Lucio.
You gotta unroll those things, man.
Yeah, man. Let them breathe a little bit.
What are you rolling?
I change them out. I change them out. But I roll them when I want to have like kind of a cool little thing here. Also a De Rossi on there.
We can't even see it. You know what? Chuck, we're gonna take our last break. We're gonna take our last break of In Soccer We Trust. When we come back, we'll continue to give Keith a hard time.
That's a great look.
It is a great look. It's a great look. We do now that we can see it. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about Christian Pulisic saying that he still wants Greg Berhalter as coach of the U.S. men's national team. Yeah, he said it. We're going to roll that clip right after this.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Made it PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back to It's Not Gonna Be Trust. I'm Jimmy with Charlie and Heath.
By the way, it was Tevez. I looked up the roster.
No, you're lying, dude. Lying.
It's Sergio Aguero.
Yeah, who's right, also going to be my best friend with Messi coming. You know what I mean? That's fam.
He probably will come. They're really close. Now we're hearing Di Maria and Busquets. That seems like they're pretty locked in at this moment. Anyway, let's leave Messi out of it. Christian Pulisic, boys. He had a press conference ahead of the Nations League semifinal against Mexico. Got asked about Greg Berhalter and him potentially being the full-time coach again once everything is decided. And here's what Christian had to say. I look forward to getting everybody's thoughts.
I think he is still considered. I think he should be considered. I think he did a great job with the team. He brought us a long way. I think a lot of people and a lot of guys on the team especially would agree with that.
Okay. Who wants to jump
in? I'll jump in.
Chuck, real quick though, before you say, he looks good in those colors, huh? Maybe a little AC Milan vibes that he's got going on with those U.S. training kits right now.
I see what you're doing there.
It's like he's getting a little, he looks natural in that type of colorway.
This is called foreshadowing.
Back with his boy, Olivier Giroud. Let's just be honest. Greg Berhalter did a good job with this group. I would actually say he did a great job with this group. He got them through World Cup qualifying. They got to World Cup. They got out of the group stage. And then they petered out against the Netherlands, which I think they were a better side, but they were out-coached and they were outperformed. Okay, we're going to leave it at that.
That's fair.
Now, so I think from that standpoint, if you're a player and one of the trusted players who played, you're only going to have positive things to say about Greg Berhalter. And he earned a lot of their respect in the way he handled the Gio Reyna situation. That was a moment that stands out to a lot of players in that locker room where they were like, Greg Berhalter is a G. That's a coach I want to play for. He chose team culture and respect over talent. And at a point, you know, there's always that give and take, but when it comes to a World Cup, I think Greg Berhalter felt, nope, I'm making that decision, and it was the right call. But I would say from here on, knowing where we are now, I'm still going to be in favor of a European coach, a foreign coach who has been successful, who has won trophies.
Give us names, Chuck.
Who can take this group to the next stage, the next level. So
who is that? Who?
Right now available, Luis Enrique is one.
That'd be a good one. I like that,
and I know we talked to Crocker. He wants a younger manager with ambition who is positive with experience. Well, Luis Enrique is that guy. He's coached the biggest talent. He's won trophies. He won at Barcelona. He's coached the Spanish national team. He's obviously a great person. You can see the way he carries himself.
He played as well at a high level.
He was a top player. Mm-hmm. So that's one candidate just off the top of my head right now that would be a great fit, and especially considering the demographic of our country. I just feel that we're ready for that to go back into that type of coaching. I'm lost on the word. Just
like that, exporting a different type of methodology and philosophy.
That caliber. Of coach
caliber.
That caliber of coach.
I see. Okay. I respect the Luis Enrique shout. I wouldn't be mad at all if he took over.
And he's free. You don't have to worry about any contract dispute right now or pulling them out of a contract if they have a year left. None of that. He's available.
Now there's been some talk about Thierry Henry. Heath, I'll go to you because I
Charlie, he played with him.
Well, Charlie and him shared a bunk bed a couple weeks ago or something. I don't know.
Apparently, Chuck made it sound like I was complaining about Thierry letting me fly on the plane. Like, he brought me on the plane. Chuck made it sound like I was mad. You know? Now I got to mend that relationship with Chuck. He's trying to, you know, slide in there and slip in as TT's buddy.
Would TT be a good choice for you, or do you feel like he's just better as an assistant?
I actually thought that he would struggle as a coach in general just because of the demands that he has as a teammate, right? Understand, like, to be a coach, you have to have a holistic perspective. You have to have empathy. You have to have a wider understanding of others, right? You have to be very good at understanding how to treat a group equally and then individuals as individuals. And I thought he would struggle with that. But then I've talked to some people that have just said he's really, really come a long way. The other thing that I would say is, I remember when he was doing his coaching badges and I went with him in London out to Arsenal when he was working with them doing his badges. And it was the first time I had ever seen Thierry vulnerable to me, right? He's Thierry Henry. He doesn't show any weaknesses ever because he doesn't seem to have them. And he was just like, dude, it's hard work. It's a lot of work. And he was talking about TV and that in the context of kind of where his life was at in the post career. And that to me was like a moment of like, oh yeah, this person is on a growth journey to being something. And so I think he's come a long way. I still think he lacks the experience I'd like to have from a coach. But I put him in the Chirundolo category. Chirundolo, by the way, is being interviewed for that job as well. And so I put them in the category of like, if 2026 was in 4 years from now and they were on the same trajectories, both of them, I'd be like, yes, but not quite what I would like from an ideal manager to weather what these next few years are in terms of how we get this group from where we are to at least another game in the World Cup, if not two.
Do you think that Patrick Vieira is obviously an Arsenal teammate of TT, that he has that experience that is necessary, or is there something from Vieira's, let's say, coaching acumen or
no, I think Vieira has a head coaching acumen, maybe not necessarily the success that you'd want on paper from a coach, but he has the US culture standpoint. He understands the US mentality. He's embedded himself in it for a long time. I like some of those aspects. Again, maybe, you know, that versus a Luis Enrique, I'm still looking at a Luis Enrique and just go like, that package just seems more mm-hmm. well-rounded and experienced, maybe lacking that US nuance. Cause I do think we all know that there is a different mentality in this US squad, no matter how many of them have played their whole careers in Europe. The American mentality is going to be different, right? We're a bit different than the rest of the world. And that takes some learning and some open-mindedness as a culture, because we don't come from the streets of football, so to speak, where it's ingrained in our DNA. You might have half that national team don't even like watching soccer. You know what I mean? Like, for real.
We got a good shout from Richard, who says maybe Vieira and Henry would come over together. And that would be something. I would definitely subscribe for those.
Shoot,
two
bring Sol Campbell as well. Then come
yeah,
on,
yeah. Just
Jens Lehmann. Who else do you want to bring?
Ashley Cole.
Dennis Bergkamp would be sick.
Yeah, you know.
So yeah, if they wanted to get the gang together, Robert Perez, that would be awesome. I know that we mentioned that Steve Chirundolo, at least for me, would be a hell of a candidate. We just thought it was coming too soon, and so I still feel that way. I think he would even come on here and admit that he still has a lot to learn about coaching in general and the art form that it is to have success.
I think he's a real candidate.
Now that I'm hearing that he's being properly interviewed, I know that he'll do a hell of a job. I just think he's got the right demeanor for it. That said, back to Chuck's point, is he the caliber, Chuck, that you would be looking for, even though we all adore Steve Chirundolo?
I don't want people to take this out of context. I don't want to
social media, dude. We're gonna do whatever we want.
I'm not trying to chop this up
however we want, Chuck.
Yeah, you already hate Cody Jones.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So this, no disrespect to any of the managers out there, but we have to swing for the fences. This is a World Cup on home soil. This is a young group that just achieved a whole lot with a lot of promise. Don't go for, and I don't want to say mediocrity. Maybe that's not the right word, but average or good We want to go for the best possible manager we can get. And that means going for the biggest and the best, not settling. This is not a group that you settle with. You push the envelope with all this momentum, Olympics, World Cup, Messi in the country. Go for the biggest, best manager you could possibly get. And that means you go to every single person, every rock. You don't leave any rock unturned.
Chuck's mad today, huh?
Jeez, yeah, Chuck's got something way up his butt and it's enjoying itself up there. But with regard to Schwendelow, I don't necessarily consider him, and I know you're not saying this with regard to him, like average or mediocre. I think he just hasn't had enough time to kind of prove that he can be a great manager. I think he'll get there, and I think he'll be a hell of a manager for the national team whenever he gets a crack at it.
Are you saying Schwendelow, you said?
Yeah, Schwendelow in particular.
Well, yeah.
I know how he is and how he is around people. Mm-hmm. And I think he can elevate the performance of this particular group. But to your point, I do think we're kind of at this tipping point where a big name who has had a ton of experience and has already been proven to win at the highest levels is probably a better fit at this time. But I would not discount how special I think that Schwendelow can be as a coach.
Arsene Wenger, as a strategic advisor to the national team, guys, are you against that? I'm not against that.
Didn't he have some weird rule where he wanted to recently? I was like, yeah. Arsene Wenger's like the old man yelling at the clouds right now. But
I would say for in regard to Stevie Schwendelow in the final in CONCACAF Champions League, that to me showed he's not ready yet for a job like this because he got the tactics wrong and it was too much of a pragmatic defensive approach. So if you're watching coaches under insane pressure, which a World Cup in North America will be insane pressure, I don't think he's quite ready, but he's going in the right direction. Like you said, super high ceiling. I think he's got all the intangibles, but needs more experience. I think it's too soon, but he has an MLS Cup to stand on, which is more than a lot of other candidates that are being tossed around at the moment with no silverware, at least domestically. So for me, you just got to keep having these conversations. I would love to know who U.S. soccer has had a conversation with, because I think the more aware the fan base is in terms of the expectations of what to expect, who's the top caliber manager we can get, given if we can only pay $3 million or $4 million per year, which is still massive salary. But who's in that bucket? And remember, if Jose Mourinho is making $18 million or some of these coaches, that's a club job. Club jobs pay much more because the demands every single day versus an international job. So there's a big difference between the two. So I know people might say, well, this manager is getting this. That is to manage a club. Managing a country is much less. And there's more. It's almost like a dream job to manage in a World Cup, which many managers don't get the opportunity to do. And especially if you get a chance to play it on home soil and win it for the first time with an American side that is youthful and creative and ambitious and talented and with a lot of potential, that I feel like you could pull a lot of coaches or persuade a lot of coaches out of jobs that they're already in or pursuing.
Yeah, there's a lot there. And I love your enthusiasm, Chuck. It's fantastic. You know, you could just probably text Gooch and find out what's going on if you want to save a lot of steps.
Chuck, find out, dude.
Just go ask Gooch what's happening. All right, final thoughts, because we've had a hell of a show. It's been a lot of fun. And a shout out once again to Paul Tenorio from The Athletic for giving us some insight about Leo Messi and all the intricacies of that particular deal. Obviously, more news will be forthcoming as everything gets finalized. Heath, final thoughts coming to you.
No, I'm just super excited. Again, on the Messi deal, I could care less about what he actually ends up accomplishing in this league. But the fact that we've got a player, I don't care if he's 35 of his caliber, that's going to bring this much attention, I think is a win-win all around. And somebody wanted to look at me in 2 years and go, yeah, but he didn't win anything. I don't care. He's Lionel Messi. It's a massive thing. And everyone at every level of soccer in the United States is going to benefit from this period.
Yeah, I wonder if he's going to play on turf. That's
you won a World Cup at 35, so let's just put that in perspective.
Okay, final thoughts, Chuck?
scored two goals in a final at 35 and won a World Cup. So I think he's good. So let's not throw age into it, especially when now technology is different. Players take care of their bodies. They know how to play longer. We've seen,
and he never runs, Chuck.
We've seen Zlatan. Right. I mean, so I also want to address this comment. Ball a kick.
He's been triggered. He's been triggered. He got him.
He says, listen, man, I get Charlie's point about getting the best coach, but that still doesn't guarantee success. We see this with coach and player alike. What is a guarantee in this sport? Nothing's a guarantee.
We got him 57 minutes in.
To give yourself the best opportunity, the best chance to win and to develop this talent and to play a flexible style. We can't be just a press team. We can't be just a long ball team or a sit back team. We have to be flexible depending on the opponent. And I think this group can control games. We've seen it against England in the World Cup, a young team with no experience in the World Cup, dominate possession and tempo for the majority of the game. So, yes, go for the best.
And Charlie is on fire.
I'm on fire today.
Is that you, old Chuck boy?
Hey, unbelievable. Hey.
I've been up since 2 a.m. I've had a lot of coffee. I am fired up.
He's triggered, everybody.
No.
All right. One last name. This is my final thought. Yogi Love is a name we didn't throw out there. I still think he'd be a great candidate as well. Has a lot of the same pedigree or actually as Luis Enrique and has won a World Cup, which is always a good thing. And I think he should be considered as well. Okay, that's it. That's it. We're done.
No, let's keep going. I can't get triggered.
No. I got to go catch a flight to Istanbul. And I'll catch you guys from Turkey in the following show on Monday. We look forward to catching up with everybody. We'll obviously have more news to break down and get into. So enjoy your weekends.
Chuck hates Kobe
Jones. Producer Alex.
Respect everybody who triggered me today. I love y'all.
The triggered Charlie Davies. I'm Jimmy Conrad saying thank you for the love and support of In Soccer We Trust as always, and we'll see you next week. Later.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.